You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's up, gang? Welcome into Good Morning Lambeau. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. You can email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. I know the text line, the email has been blowing up. Appreciate everybody's feedback. It's been a lot of fun. YouTube numbers are way up. Obviously, the Twitter numbers are going crazy. But we just want to say thank you to everyone who tunes in every day. Whether you're live or you have to catch it later, makes no difference really to us. We just appreciate the support. I'm joined alongside Jacob here. We got him in the in enemy territory on the Wisconsin-Minnesota border. You got a purple sombrero yet, Jacob?
No, come on, no. Man.
Okay. They broke that out for him last night. So
you know what I was going to do just now? I watched that episode of The Office when he does the presentation to the board and he does the twirl. And they're like, hate the twirl. Don't do the twirl. It's like, I'm not going to do the twirl. Anyways.
Spin in the chair.
Yeah. I love it.
Let's see. Eric Sutherland already taking shots at Jacob. He says, Jacob drinking that cherry blossom decaf latte with extra cream. What a bum.
You sure about that?
So well thought out. All right. Tim, how you doing this morning, man? I see you got the diesel flowing too.
Oh, man. I'm waking up, ready to roll. Big day. It's Friday.
Yeah, man. Got the weekend on the horizon here, right? So we may go early tomorrow night because I got to see what the plans are exactly. But we got a good friend who's got a birthday shindig they're throwing over at their place. So we're going to do a show tonight. I am anyway. If you guys are always welcome to join. But if you got plans, I know Fridays usually are not that we do that. But
Hi, I'm Date Mike. Nice to meet me.
I'm going to take Saturday night off. So we'll probably do like a late afternoon Saturday show, if you will, like a 5 Central something, maybe a 4 Central, something like that. So Paul Robertson says Jacob's Iguana might have the best mock draft out of this group. It's a good point, Paul.
Well, I'll tell you, I got my coffee there a little bit.
I think coming up next is going to be Tim and Emilio's mock draft. We're going to put them on the hot seat like we did Jacob last night. So we'll do that soon. We may not get to it this morning. And we don't want to mock draft everybody to death here, but yeah. With that being said, Jacob, you sent me some cool stuff, man. It came over from Andy Herman. I know you were following him on Twitter, and we all are. Andy's an awesome dude; does a great job. Obviously, one of if not the best podcasters amongst the Packer group. But pretty interesting stuff with RAS. Do you want to kind of set the stage as we pop them up here?
Yeah, Andy Herman just shared. And yeah, Andy Herman's great, so check him out. He shared right here, yeah, Brian Gutekunst's RAS scores in the first 3 rounds of the draft, basically since he took over. And as you can see, there's a bit of a pattern there clustering towards the top. And what was even more, I thought, interesting than that graphic was guys that were under the typical scores that he does. And boom, that's a group of winners right there.
Winners. Yeah, so for those of you listening on the pod, I'll try to explain what this graphic's showing here, the screenshot from Andy Herman's Twitter account. You guys, I'm sure you're already following him. If you're not, go follow him at Andy Herman NFL. It says Brian Gutekunst's RAS scores in the first 3 rounds of the draft. Christian Watson, 9.96. Rashawn Gary, 9.94. Luke Musgrave, 9.77. Oren Burks, 9.77. Quay Walker, 9.65. Tucker Kraft, 9.64. Devontae Wyatt, it says Deontay Wyatt. That's supposed to be Devontae, right? Yeah. Devontae Wyatt, 9.63. Jair Alexander, 9.47. Eric Stokes, 9.39. Lucas Van Ness, 9.37. Elton Jenkins, 9.28. Josh Jackson, I was so high on that pick right there, man. Josh Jackson, 9.23. A.J. Dillon, 9.17. Josiah DeGuara, 8.67. Jordan Love, 8.54. Darnell Savage, 8.41. Sean Ryan, 8.03. That's kind of surprising. Jake Reed, 6.68. Amari Rodgers, 5.56. And Jace Sternberger, 5.24. So the point here, guys, is in the first three rounds, this is what sticks out to me. And you guys, I'd like to get your take on it too, Tim. You know, RAS isn't everything. But for those who are like, oh, they don't even focus. Now, it's not specifically RAS. That they've got their own athletic, you know, obviously profile they build on these guys. Ted Thompson's been on the record for forever. When he took over as GM of the Packers, he was saying how they've got, you know, they've got a certain type of player that they like, you know, as far as size, weight, all that good stuff, height, weight. And this right here just proves it. In the first three rounds, when you see all these players that they took that are a nine or above, they go for those high-ceiling guys, those high athletic profile guys. Now, you guys know I've been pretty vocal saying maybe this is why the defense has struggled. You're not going to convince me it was just Dom Capers. You're not going to convince me it was just Mike Pettine and it was just Joe Barry. Like, you can't run three coordinators off in a row with three different coaching staffs and just pretend like it was all three their fault, right? I think that on defense, one of the issues may be you're really trying to key in on RAS, athletic profile, not RAS specifically. And you kind of get away from the who's the best tackler, who's the toughest guy, who's the, you know what I'm saying, who's got the most, the highest football IQ, if you will. I think there's a little something to that. Now, Rashawn Gary obviously has panned out well. Let's key in on defense here, though. Oren Burks, 9.77. Obviously not on the team anymore. I'm pretty sure he was the one that played for the 49ers last year, and they had the perfect passer rating against them in the Super Bowl, right, as soon as Greenwald went down. So you can see, you know, not good in coverage. You can have all the athletic build that you know that's available, but if you can't process in real time and you can't react in real time, that athletic profile doesn't mean a hill of beans, right? And it seems like it's more specific on defense than offense for me. Quay Walker, I know a lot of people were excited about Quay. I'm still holding out hope Quay is going to be a great player, but at a 9.6, and you look at his PFF grades the last 2 years, and you could turn on the tape and watch him in the run fit, how he's hesitant. He's got all the burst in the world, but he's hesitant to the point of attack. I'm hoping Halfley fixes that. And Coach Campanile, I'm hoping he fixes that, right? You got a guy that's going to be – there's no excuses now. If our linebackers aren't aggressive attacking the ball, it's because it's just not in their DNA, right? And you're going to have to try to fix that. Devontae Wyatt, another one, 9.63, great pass rusher, been booty cheeks against the run, sucks at tackling in the backfield, right? We've seen him bust into the backfield. And it's like, all right, here we go, tackle for a loss, and they just somehow, some way get out of his grasp, right? Another example there. Jair Alexander, that's a home run. So far, I feel comfortable saying Rashawn Gary and Jair Alexander are the best ones in the nines here, right? Eric Stokes, a 9.39. What's his problem, Tim? We've talked about him playing man coverage, right? He's supposed to be a man corner, and he just doesn't have the awareness to get his head around to the ball, does he not?
Can't track the ball well. Yeah, that's something that they've got to stress with him. I mean, he can still turn it around. He's still young enough.
Right.
Probably going to get some snaps this year, hopefully. So, but yeah, man, that's the thing, because he's got all the, you know, the physical attributes to play the position. But if you can't, your 9.3 doesn't matter on your RAS if you can't find the football.
Right. That's been the biggest thing that I've noticed about Stokes. And of course, the health is the big issue, right? Yep. You know, it's hard to build consistency when you're constantly battling those injuries. That's not a shot at Stokes. I mean, that was a horrible injury he had there, you know, the year before last. So
the fact that he even saw the field last year is an accomplishment in and of itself, seeing where he was just a few months prior to training camp. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Lucas Van Ness, got a lot of hope for him, 9.37. Obviously, he graded out in the 60s, according to PFF. Usually, that's a pretty good indicator that they're going to go on to be a good player. I say that Eric Stokes did that, and he took a step back. He hasn't graded out in the 60s since, right? So just keep that in mind. But again, I don't think anyone would look at Lucas Van Ness and go, that was a great rookie year, would they? Like, when you look from a production standpoint. He was limited on snaps, Jacob, right? But yeah. Would you consider him a top pass rusher? Because at this point, I wouldn't, although I'm excited about his future.
No, I wouldn't consider him top anything, but I thought he showed flashes of being really, really good. Gosh, I can't remember who it was that he chased down a quarterback on like a
Justin Fields.
Like a rollout. And I was just like, dang, that was cool. That was impressive. You saw that RAS score coming to play there for sure. So I think he's shown flashes. I'm excited.
I think Van Ness had like your typical rookie year, right? You wanted to see. You wanted to see those flashes. You know you're not gonna get, 60 to 70 snaps a game out of the guy, and you're developing him as a pro. So I'm with you, Clayton. I think it'd be exciting to see him develop here.
I love the look in Justin Fields' eyes when he got up off the ground after Lucas Van Ness ragdolled him and threw him to the sideline. Like, who the hell caught me? What was that? And before he even knew what was going on, Van Ness was already back in the huddle too. It's what we do.
What was so great about that play was, you talk about flashes. He took the perfect angle. It wasn't so much the closing speed and all that. That was impressive. But his angle to the ball carrier is what caused that play to develop the way it did. And, I mean, for a rookie, that's what you want to see, right?
If I remember, too, it was an RPR. So it was like a run-pass-run type option. So he put the ball in the belly of the running back. And Lucas Van Ness not only stood up, but took a jab step towards a running back. So Fields read it perfect. And as soon as he pulled the ball out and he's thinking, oh, I've got the corner. Nah, it was playing his foot, that stride length, and LVN just ran him down. So I want to see him with more snaps this year. And us switching to the 4-3, maybe they do kick him inside a little bit. Maybe they kick Rashawn inside a little bit, right? He played D-tackle in college. I think he's going to be an edge defender. I think they've invested too much time. He's invested too much training into working out of that wide nine and that seven tech. That's probably where he's going to play, right? And there's somebody going, what do you mean by that? I'm glad we got it. Bang, let's pull it up real quick. When we talk about technique, look at the numbers on the upper right here, okay, or on the upper part of the screen. Let me get that off there. You notice the numbers across the top, the blue, red, and the green numbers, right? When we talk technique, that's where a defensive lineman on the defensive front will actually line up, okay? So when we talk about Rashawn Gary playing a wide nine or a seven tech, right, a seven tech would be on the outside shoulder of the tight end, okay? Now, notice when we say a five tech, right, you didn't see him line up just on the outside shoulder of the tackle much. He was way out wide, right? So he was somewhere between a seven and a nine. Typically, they'll just go ahead and refer to it as a wide nine. When you put those edges out wide, you control the explosive play on the ground, which is most of the time an outside stretch, outside zone run type play, right? So that's the reason you went to the wide nine look. And we played that 34 jam, five on the line of scrimmage, and to a couple of wide nines on the outside. So that's what we're talking about with that. Like with Kenny playing a lot of four eye, playing some three tech, that simply means a four eye on the inside shoulder of the tackle, a three tech on the outside shoulder of the guard, or just basically splitting the guard and the tackle is the easiest way to do it. So just to kind of give you a quick graphic of that, I'm glad we got that now, because I've gotten more questions about that when we mention technique. They're like, what are you talking about? Sometimes it's good to kind of see the visual aspect of it. It's really simple. If I can get it, anybody can get it. But it's just a way that they communicate exactly where they're going to line up, right? With that being said, we got Josh Jackson, 9.23. Am I remembering right, Jacob? It's been several years ago now. Did he not lead the league in lead the country in interceptions or something like that in college? Am I thinking?
Yeah. See, he was the Iowa guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when we drafted him too. I was watching with my family and I was like, oh, he's good. He's going to be really good for sure. Yeah. And he was. That's one of the bigger busts because we kept him around for so long. And I, if I remember correctly, there was like an argument as to we didn't use him the right way. And we kind of messed with his career, but I thought he went somewhere and I don't know if he had a decent year or something like that, but I don't know. That was a tough one.
That's a story older than time itself, man. Like that's what the Packers do. We'll draft this guy. We'll make him do this. We can fit him in here. I think of Demarius Randall, right? I think of even Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, some would say that they didn't play him in the proper spot. It's just it's tough, man, because you've got coaches. You heard Mike Wall talk about this. Like he said, we will be in the meeting room. He said, there's guys that will sit in the meeting room and go, I can't reach that block. And literally the OC or the offensive line coach will be like, well, the OC wants to run it. You got to get there. And then you go out on Sunday, you run that play. He doesn't reach that block. You get in the film room on Monday, and they go, "Whoa, why didn't you get your block? Where were you at?" And so, bro, I told you it's impossible to get to that point, right? So I think there's a lot of that that goes on too. And let's be real. A good chunk of these coaches have never played the game. And I think that's why it's important to have coaches, whether it's assistants, doesn't necessarily have to be the DC, but it's assistants in the room that have played. You know, like I think of like Nathaniel Hackett. That's a guy who's been – here's a guy, he's been around the game his whole life, right? His dad was a coach. Love hearing him tell stories about, you know, how his dad would make fun of them for playing out of the gun more and not more under center and this and that. It's kind of cool. But to the best of my knowledge, he didn't play any high-level ball, right? And in the old adage, those who can't teach, right? But I think those players kind of look up sometimes and go, they roll their eyes like, this guy doesn't have a clue, man. He's never played a game. I think that's a real thing. I do. So it sounds like Jeff Hafley has never had that problem, though. Everybody who spoke out about Jeff Hafley, they're like, this dude knows what he's talking about, right? And it sounds like he's willing to bend a little bit and go to the players. Rather than go, here's what I need you to do, go do it, he's going to them going, hey, what do you feel most comfortable doing? All right, let's see if we can build your game around that. I think that's really important, especially in 2024 where everybody's all in their emotions, man. All right, to dive on down to the next player was Darnell Savage, 8.4. I think we would all agree that didn't work out too well for the Packers. Again, he's a guy that decent RAS, had really good speed, all those things. But it was just like he was always late to the ball. And when he did arrive to the ball, it's like he didn't know how to break down. He didn't know how to arrive at confrontation and was probably one of the worst tackling safeties in the entire National Football League. So the biggest common thing here, in my opinion, the common denominator is tackling, right? Like when you look at these high RAS guys, they struggle at tackling. They struggle at finding the ball. So maybe I'm looking too deep into it, but that is definitely – when I turn on the tape the last 3 years, I don't find myself going, man, this game's broken. I find myself going, why are you covering space, an eight-yard radius, and there's no one within that space? Like, what are we doing? It's like there's – they're a little slow to read and react to what's actually happening on the field. And I just have a hard time believing the coaches are going, hell or high water, you just sit right there in that spot. I don't care if anybody comes near you or not, right? And, you know, there was a lot of talk last year, too, about people didn't want to play for Joe Barry and this and that, right? That now that Joe Barry is gone, these players, you know, all right, that we got rid of the problem. And then you look up and it's like, okay, Sav is gone. He's one that complained about not being utilized right, according to Jason Wilde. And then the other one, Devondre Campbell, was everybody was like, that's what his tweet was about. He was mad at Joe Barry. No, he's pissed off at the fans. He's gone too. So it's like, you know, it's just nice to get a clean slate, I guess you could say. So yeah. As far as those bottom guys, Amari Rodgers, Jay Sternberger, Shamar Jean Charles, Cole Madison, Jake Hansen, Jonathan Ford. That's his bottom RAS draftees, his outliers, if you will. So, yeah, it's one of those things. If you remove RAS, it doesn't look pretty at all, does it, Jacob?
No, that's a ragtag bunch of dudes right there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I made a joke. I shouldn't have made the joke, and I'm not going to make it on air here. But you know, the whole Jay Sternberger thing's like, that was a guy that, you know, in college, didn't he have like one of the best catch percentages or something? Didn't he have like, they were talking about his catch radius, and he was, I think he might've led the country in catches for tight ends or something like that. It was something crazy. And then he comes in here and it's like, it was just an absolute mess, obviously off the field stuff as well. But yeah, so interesting to see how the RAS is coming to play. I think it's not a popular argument because it's not a fun one, but you know, some say that RAS doesn't matter. Others say it's everything. I think it's right in the middle, to be honest with you, man. You got it. You got to hit on that guy that's got these kind of scores like this, but also showcases that they know what the heck they're doing on the field. And that's another reason why I lean on PFF and their college grades. You know, you look at some of these guys, Jaden Reed, for instance, right? Jaden Reed was one, wasn't he? Yeah, he was on that list, right? Jaden Reed, 6.68, not a great RAS, right? If you go back to 2022 and watch his tape just jumps off the screen, right? So it's like you could tell Goody wasn't worried about that RAS. he was watching that tape for 2020. It wasn't 2022. It actually would have been 2021, the year before his final year in college. And, yeah, he just dominated. So, you got to kind of take
2023 tape's pretty good too.
That 2023 tape's on point. Tim. You could tell from the early in the season too. It's like this game isn't too big for him. The Saints game when he laid out, made that diving. I think it was the Saints game. He made that diving catch. Like this dude. And I remember seeing that so many times at Michigan State in 2021 when I went back and watched that year, and it was just like everybody's saying he's going to be a slot. He's going to be a slot. He's going to be a slot. And I'm like, they played him at Z more than slot at Michigan State. And that dude was – I couldn't tell you how many times they ran dagger concepts where he was the deep guy, right? And they would do a little Z motion and run him out there, or they would run like, say, like a – it's almost like a slot cross setup, and he'd give a little double move and hit it deep. And the dude's just – he's a football player, man. Running the ball, too. Pretty exciting. So, yeah. Anything else you want to hit on here with the RAS, Jake?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Nah, I think that pretty much covered it.
Cool. I appreciate you sending that, man. It was very interesting because you kind of felt like this is what was going on. But, you know, you never take the time to compile it. And Andy Herman's the man at doing that, dude. He's always taking the extra second and doing some of the legwork for us Packer fans for sure. So, good stuff there. Speaking of running the ball, though, we got us a new running back in Titletown. He had a quick message, just really, really quick. Obviously, he came in, signed his contract. We're talking about Josh Jacobs. This is what he said the other day.
It's Josh Jacobs, running back. Excited to be here. Go, Pack, go.
I was reading up a little bit on his I was reading up a little bit on his bio too, and man, everybody, I think both you and Tim pointed this out, that C on his chest, right? Even in a year where obviously they chose to let him go, he was voted, I'm pretty sure he was voted by his teammates as a captain. And that bio, it was like, this guy has a quiet confidence to him. He's one of these guys that he's magnetic. I don't know if I'm saying, if I don't want this to sound the wrong way, like I'm trying to put him down. But the article I read, he's got a son, right? And I won't get into too many details, which here, actually, he posted a picture. This was cool at Lambeau, right? Him and his boy. So, obviously, bringing the family tradition to Lambeau Field. And it was actually his son's mother, if I remember correctly, was interviewed by someone about Josh Jacobs. And, bro, it was like I was reading it going, why are they not still together? Like, she just adored him. And she was just talking about how people are drawn to him, right? And he's just kind of got that magnetic personality. But he does it in a way, it's like a quiet confidence. I think that's awesome. So I think we're getting us an absolute dog there. I love this one right here, too. For anyone who hasn't been to Lambeau Field and look at this picture, that plaque there basically says that it explains what the concrete is that he's standing on there. If you look at his feet, you see a brick border with some concrete in it. Before they created the new players tunnel at Lambeau Field, there was just the old North Tunnel. Both teams came out of the old North Tunnel. Okay. So what they did was, I think it was actually Mike Sherman's idea when he was the general manager with the Packers. Cause at that time when he was general manager and head coach of the Packers, they were redoing Lambeau Field and they were basically creating that new tunnel for the players. What he suggested, I'm pretty sure it was Mike. I apologize if I got that wrong. I think that's what I heard. He said, why don't we bust up some of the concrete in the old North Tunnel and put it in the new players' tunnel. So it's the same exact concrete that Lombardi's Packers walked across. Or our players are still going to walk across that same concrete. And you see him putting his hand on the plaque. I thought that was a really cool picture there. So really excited about Josh Jacobs. And like I said, this one right here is everything. Man, football, family, tradition. That's what it's all about, right, Tim?
Absolutely. And you hit it on the head. You know, guys like this, the you know, natural leaders, that's who you want, you know, with the C on their chest. And I'm saying my prayers, guys. I really hope we get away from this weekly rotation of, you know, guys, I want to be captain. Who's going to be captain this week? Here you go. Doug Pointer in the chat. Yep. You've said it before, but we need to have team captains. You can have a rotational weekly captain, but there needs to be a core leadership group on the team.
Yep.
See, there you go. That's a compromise, right? Maybe you leave a spot open for whoever's got the hot hand week to week. But I think offensively and defensively, you need a guy on each side of the ball that's going to, you know, be the leader for sure. And I really hope Coach LaFleur goes that route this year. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as the team captain thing, like, I think it's a tradition to have the rotating weekly captains, right? It's basically a way for the coaches to reward players that week who really stepped up. You go, all right, you've earned it this week. You're going to be representing us for the coin toss. But they would still have team captains, right? And I think the only way, Jacob, you've played football, the only way, dude, to have team captains elected is have the team do it from within the locker room. If a coach appoints it, then it's like, oh, there's his pet. And you're going to have people in that locker room that don't like it. In my opinion, if the players vote on it, and someone has an issue with the majority of the players saying this is our captain, then you're probably the stinky turd in the punch bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're the guy who's upset because your teammates, the majority of them said, no, these are the guys that are our team leaders, and you think your opinion is more is higher than the rest of the team, I have a problem with that. But what do you think about it? Should it be the coaches that elect team captains, or should it be the players, Jake?
Obviously the players, yeah. And any other players that have a problem with that should definitely probably not be on the team, Za'Darius. yeah, I don't know. I think that's just obvious. The whole rotational thing, I don't even know where that started, to be honest. It just seems a little too like participation trophy, everybody.
I can see how you would see it like that on the outside, but again, I think at the core, it's a way for the coaches to go, these are the guys stepping up this week. You've earned the right to go represent us at the coin toss type thing. I think I don't have an issue with the rotational aspect, but you still got to have the core group of the real captains, if you will. But it's like, you busted your butt in practice this week. I remember him talking about Eric Wilson, I think it was last year. Like, what it is is from like a business standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, people don't do what they're told. They do what they see and hear edified, right? And it's a way to provide edification from the coaches to the players in real time that week, right? To say, hey, look, that's how you're supposed to carry yourself. That's how you're supposed to work in practice, right? And you just, all right, you've earned the right to be a captain representing the team this week. And again, you would still have your core captains as well. So it's not that they're quote unquote cap. It's captains for that specific game. But I understand what you're saying, Jacob Howell. On the outside, it kind of looks like, man, it does kind of feel like, okay, you get a captain and you get a captain and you get a captain.
I'm so cool with them rotating like one captain every week kind of thing, but we seem to have like the musical chairs style thing. So
yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt about it. Let's see here. I like this one right here. I think y'all had put it up. Ron Samble said the Locked On Packers guy from Las Vegas could not speak any higher about the player and the man. So I think, you know, when people look at the price tag that they paid for Josh Jacobs, again, it's technically, you know, it's more or less a 1 year, $12.5 million deal. Some would say a $14 million deal. Okay. But the Packers are going to be in control after that. You guys know on the surface, I was worried that, okay, then he's going to be primed to hold out in year two or year three to try to get some more guaranteed money. Right. But it sounds like if he is the person that he is, the Packers weren't concerned about that. And, you know, maybe that's something that they discussed behind the scenes too. Like, hey, look, after year one, if we both like what we see here, then we'll do a little restructure, convert some base salary to signing bonus, that type of thing too, right? So you never know what the full conversation is behind the scenes, but he seems happy to be here. Like Ron pointed out, everyone in Vegas absolutely loved him. He was voted a captain. It's kind of surprising to me that they let him walk, but keep in mind, they wouldn't give him a contract extension last year, if I remember correctly, and they made him play under the franchise tag, which kind of goes back to the question that Carly posed a little while back and some others, like, why don't you always use the franchise tag then? It's expensive. It's fully guaranteed, right? You're paying someone at the top three of their position, but also it pisses the player off. It's like, you're not willing to commit to me long term. I want out of here. That's exactly what happened with Josh Jacobs in Vegas, I believe. So, pretty cool stuff. You know what? We got a quick reel here or a quick video that Packers.com put together of Josh Jacobs and the signing. Let's hit on it real quick, and then we'll move on to a little Xavier McKinney too. But, again, this was on Packers.com. You can find it on their Twitter account for free. Go give it a retweet, a like, all that good stuff. They do a phenomenal job with this type of content. Here we go.
Jacobs has just been dominant. One of the most explosive, one of the most elusive running backs in the NFL. Oh, he's got the big hole. Yard. And the swerving Jacobs gets away. They can't bring him down, even by holding on to his jersey. Jacobs breaking free, going to the end zone for the touchdown.
Love it, man. Again, the question is, who are we getting, guys? Are we getting the 2022 Josh Jacobs, or are we getting the 2023? Now, you can watch the tape of 2022. And yes, he was hitting the backfield a lot. The only problem I have with people just going, I'll throw that out the window. The Packers' run blocking was not much better last year. And I cringe every time someone goes, the Packers got a top 10 offensive line. And I'm going,
you sure about that?
They're great at pass blocking, but I challenge you to turn on the tape, because my goodness, there were so many times that Aaron Jones had to plant that foot, change direction, make something happen in the backfield. And there's a reason that A.J. Dillon all of a sudden only gaining three, you know, whatever it was, 3.4 yards a carry, right? Everyone's put the blame on, you know, on A.J. Dillon in that regard. But I'm telling you, man, when you – like when I talk to Mike Wall, he's like, man, everybody's saying he's tripping over his own feet. He can't even stand up straight. He's like, he's getting that ball, and he's expecting a hole to be right there. And he looks up, and there's two defenders in that hole because, you know, guys are missing their blocks. Yeah, he's trying to make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what, right? That's exactly what he's trying to do. So I think A.J. could bounce back, but this offensive line's got to get better. And I'm telling you, man, it's why when we do our mock drafts, Jacob gets roasted for taking an interior offensive line with 25th pick, but that's one way you can fix it. If you can revamp that offensive line just a touch in the run blocking aspect, man, watch Josh Jacobs really get back to that 2022 form, right? So let's see here. We have one more start, and then we'll get to Joyce's there. Ron Samville said, I see that Jacobs had over 1,000 yards on first down in 2022. I know that's cherry picking, but Jordan Love will dominate if he has second and four, second and three every time. Could you guys imagine that?
Could you guys imagine if LaFleur actually runs the ball on first down this year?
Oh, God.
Sorry. I'm just saying.
Man, there was many times the last 2 years that I'm like, for God, especially in the second half. Like, you come out in the middle eight, coming right out of the gate in the second half, and it's pass, 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 punt. And I'm like, oh, God. And we got like a 14-point lead or something. And then all of a sudden, Joe Barry's going to screw this up. I'm like, bro, we have went three and out four times in a row, and you guys are just like blaming Joe Barry for this. You know, it's – you got to be – man, you got to play the clock, right, and just give your running game a little bit more of a chance. I don't think it was horrible in that regard, Tim. But there were multiple times I did find myself going around the ball a little bit more on first down. What do you think, Jacob? Maybe this is what they got in mind, Jacob.
I mean, I hope so. It seems like they want to go to this bigger back option. I was listening to Ryan talk about how, I guess that's it. We should have noticed that that's the direction that they were wanting to go, and they drafted a guy like A.J. Dillon, and I don't think he's been that explosive big power back that they were looking for, which is, I think, why they went and got Jacobs. Which is just a little quick aside as to why if we are looking at them drafting a running back, we shouldn't, this was Ryan's point, is that we shouldn't look at them trying to get a Bucky Irvin or a scat back kind of guy. We should probably look at him grabbing another big, you know, power back, more beefier type power back again, because that's what they want. But, you know, that being said, yeah, I'm getting more and more excited about the fact that he's a multi-versatile guy. And plus, I think there's a lot of people that are sleeping on the fact he's a really good receiver, and he can
really good receiver, man.
Really good for how big of a back he is. He can turn up field real quick, and I think Jordan Love's going to really enjoy that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Joyce with the super chat say Keenan Allen 1 year deal. That is the Bears puzzling to me. Joyce, thank you so much for the super chat. We appreciate it. We're going to talk about this toward the end of the show. We'll come back to Xavier McKinney since she did hit us with a super chat. Thank you so much, Joyce. Keenan Allen obviously signs with the Bears here. This is Albert Breer tweeted this out. I'm assuming he's going to kind of take over for Peter King now that Peter King is retired. But Albert Breer is one of those guys who studied under Peter King for several years now. I think he's very, very respectable as far as the NFL media. He said, while you were sleeping, the Chargers traded Keenan Allen, wide receiver Keenan Allen, to the Bears for Chicago's slotted fourth rounder, the 110th overall pick. The Bears still have Philly's fourth, which is the 122nd overall from the Jalen Carter trade. Okay. And then it says the Chiefs signed wide receiver Hollywood Brown to a 1 year, $7 million deal. It's funny. I seen that called a $10 million deal, just like I seen the Bobby Wagner called an $8 million deal. But Breer's calling it a $7 million deal, which means it probably could have incentives that build it up to 10. But back to Keenan Allen, you know, it's easy to laugh at this and go, you know, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? On the surface, I agree. I agree. What are they thinking? Because like Tim said, Tim, what was the first thing you said when we said Keenan Allen got traded to the Bears?
The Bears still suck.
That's not what you said. You said who's going to throw him the ball, didn't you, Tim?
Yeah, no, that you're right. That was the second thing I said. No, the first thing I said is, yeah, pretty good receiver. I mean, who's going to throw the ball to him?
Right. And if you hit timeout, right, you hit pause a second and go back to Bill Walsh 101, Jacob. What did he say? The last piece you put in place is wide receiver. And it just seems like the Bears continue chasing their tail and doing things completely bass-ackwards. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but look at it on the flip side, too. That's that Chiefs signing, that kind of scares me because that could be a really good puzzle piece there because the last thing that they really need on that team, I'd argue, would be a wide receiver. Maybe some D-line help now. But
and one that's got some speed, right, can hit you over the top there, deep threat for sure. Yeah, yeah. Now, as far as Keenan Allen, this is why I'm like, I'm not just laughing all the way. You know, oh, the Bears are stupid for doing this. Guys, he was a monster last year. 86.3 was his PFF grade, receiving grade of 87.4. Keep in mind, though, he's going to be 32 years old at the start of the season. So how many receivers have continued to play that well that late in their career? And it sounds like it's going to be a one-year deal if Joyce was correct there, too. So, Eric Sutherland, Allen is 40 and injury-prone. Great trade, Bears. So, obviously, he's not quite 40. Eric Sutherland always in here bringing the facts. But it's funny, though, because once you get above 30, we do kind of treat them like 40-year-olds, don't we, Tim?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you got real years and NFL years, right? You know, right. 30-plus in the NFL is, yeah, you're kind of – you know, like you say, Clayton, right? Collecting Social Security there pretty soon. But obviously, yeah. In the grand scheme of life, you know, being in your 30s, I'd love to be in my 30s again. It's not that old.
Yeah, you're right about that, man. These last 10 years went so quick. You can get me depressed here live on the show. Appreciate that. speaking of depressed, wouldn't you be depressed if your pinky looked like that?
Oh, my God.
You got pinky, guys. Smash that like button. We got a bunch of people in here. Appreciate y'all making us a part of your morning. If you're on Twitter, if you're on X, watching, whatever you want to call it, you can call it bunk bed. I don't care. If you're watching on that platform, a little bit easier interface where you can communicate with us in the chat is YouTube. If you click on my profile there on Twitter, that'll send you – you'll see a link there, a YouTube link. Hop over there, subscribe to the channel. And like I said, you can actually comment in the chat without having to be a premium subscription or whatever. At least that's what I've heard on Twitter. So with that being said, yeah, just a little bit easier way to connect with us over on YouTube. We appreciate y'all making us a part of your morning. Let's get that off of there quick, though. All right, so – Keenan Allen, again, I think the Bears got better with that signing. It's just it's not a long-term solution, right? You're going to be eating up some cap in the meantime. I don't know what the cap hit is. That's cap you could have rolled over. And also, you gave up a fourth-round pick. You know, for me, I would if I was in the Bears situation, I'd rather to continue to take swings on these cheaper rookie contracts and potentially land a gem there in the fourth round. It almost feels like they're like, all right, the window's open. Let's go win one. And everybody else in the world is going, what in the world are you talking about?
So, you sure about that?
Yeah, it plays out, though. All right, Xavier McKinney, obviously another signing here for the Packers. This one I'm probably most I'm definitely most excited about. I think Josh Jacobs is going to be a great addition. But Xavier McKinney kind of brings that leadership role too, guys. You know, he was a captain for the Giants. You could tell that was Wink's guy, Wink Martindale. That was the guy that he leaned on. We've shown tape already. I literally grabbed three plays in one game just to try to throw something together real quick. And of those three plays, we've seen him play single high in a cover one man. We've seen him play half zone deep in a cover two man, which it looked like he was just free roaming with the foot speed to get back. Funny as RAS was absolute cheeks, but he's plenty fast enough on the field to make those type of plays. And then the other one, he actually played man coverage on the Y, sniffed out a smoke screen and picked it off. So you've seen him play man. You've seen him play in the box a bit. You've seen him play deep, deep middle, and you've seen him play, like I said, in that deep left in a cover two man. I think he's versatile, and I think it's exactly what Halfley was talking about when they signed Halfley and they had him go over the tape. I can only imagine now, looking back, what he did was he looked at Darnell Savage, watched him and said, all right, you want him to be your post safety? He's probably, let's look around. And he finds Xavier McKinney and goes, that's the dude we need right there. That's what it feels like. So here's a quick little reel that Packers.com put together for Xavier McKinney.
Exactly what's coming. It is too easy for veteran safeties like Xavier McKinney to make plays on the ball.
And Zappe on a play fake. Looking, firing it over the middle. The pass intercepted by the Giants. Xavier McKinney.
Excellent job by McKinney.
And the pass gets intercepted. A little check down, and McKinney dove and got the interception.
Love it, boys. I'm telling you, I am fired up over this signing right here. He was the top guy on our list when we looked at free agency and said, all right, what do you think is most important on this defense? We talked about needs being deep post safety, and man, Goody did not waste any time. He went out and got his guy. Jacob, we've had a few days to kind of sit on it. How you feeling about it, man?
Yeah, I'm ecstatic about it just because we saw just how dramatically it shifts what we need in the draft, what we need as a team, where the holes are on the team. Especially when we pull it up on PFF, it really just shows almost like in a color code, like where the holes are. And it makes it just that much easier to pinpoint where we need to attack the draft. So, and then in addition to that, I mean, just, it's been a while. I mean, we had Amos, and don't get me wrong, I really appreciate what he did back there, but to really have a shutdown safety like we did in the days of Woodson and Collins and Butler, you know what I mean? So it's cool, especially if we can get another guy in that other, you know, box safety position that could be more of a help against the run and something that it's willing to, you know, I'm just, if we strike on just two or three of these draft picks, our team could improve so drastically. It's crazy.
Absolutely. And you got, what, 11 of them total. My guess is they're going to hit on a couple of them, right?
So, I hope so.
Tim, how you feeling about McKinney? I know Eric Sutherland says, damn, we got a tackler. It's odd, isn't it, Eric? Holy cow, this dude can tackle. So,
tackler and a ball hawk. And in a Jeff Halfley defense that we've already kind of alluded to it, we're going to be sending the dogs. We're going to be aggressive. McKinney is the perfect addition, perfect guy to have on the back end because – you really can. You can pin your ears back and you can, you know, rush six, seven, you know, whatever you want to do. Let the boys pressure. And we know that secondary is patrolled properly back there. And I think he's going to be a perfect fit here in Green Bay. I can't wait to see him play.
Yeah, no doubt. Steve in the chat said a friend of mine who's a Giants fan hates that we got McKinney. I love it. That's a pretty good sign, right? Pretty good indicator when the fan base is like, what are we doing letting him go? So, Here's the exciting part too, man. You know, we talked about going out and getting McKinney, right? Go ahead, Jacob. Put it up there if you want to. Would you see? Paul Robertson says, Eric Sutherland has a finger like that too from trying to open a pickle jar. Sad story. Everybody asking about who was the guy that's got one got a bum pinky like that for the Packers. It's her very old man McCarron right there. So absolute legend. Get that off the screen before I throw up on my keyboard, please. funny, when you're the one who puts it up, it's not near as bad. But when one of the other hosts hits you with it, it's like
if you just all of a sudden you just bam, you just see it. It's like
totally different effect for sure. I don't know where the heck I was going. I was saying something. That's what I love about it. Anyway, all right. Cap. Oh, that's what it was. So we were talking about his market value being somewhere between 13.5 million as the very, very basement per year. And then others were saying, you know, 17, 18 million potentially, like what Patrick Queen was looking like he was projecting. Obviously, the Packers settle in. I want to say it was somewhere around 16.5 per. But check out how they've organized this, right? This is our total cap hits for this year coming up, okay? So in 2024, if you look at the column to the right there, second over from the right, cap hit. Kenny Clark on the cap for $27.4 million. Jair Alexander for $23.9 million. Elton Jenkins for $14.4 million. Devondre Campbell, it's showing $14.2 million. That's going to change post June 1. We've got to carry that until June 1. And I want to say it was going to free up something like $10 million. And then we had to carry – I can't remember the exact number. I shouldn't even comment. I know we're going to carry – basically, we chose to free up more money technically for 2024 than 2025, if that makes sense. So kind of made you wonder, what's Goody doing here? I think the game plan is run that cap down as close to the threshold as possible, and then you know you've got that money freeing up, and that can be your operating money. You know, typically – what I mean by operating money in season, you want to keep somewhere between 5 to 10 million in the bank under the cap. That way you can kind of maneuver around with injuries and things like that. If you have to sign a player or two. So I'd say 7 million is a really safe number that you need to keep in the bank there under the cap. So you know that's going to free up with Devondre Campbell post June 1, right? So just kind of a, I think right now we're currently sitting somewhere around 17 or 18 million under the cap as it sits right now. Preston Smith, 14.1 on the cap. Jordan Love, 12.7 on the cap. Rashawn Gary, 11.1 million under the cap. Go look at the other edge defenders, guys, and look at their cap hit. Rashawn Gary, 11.1 is just absolutely awesome. Xavier McKinney, this is what I want to get to. We were talking about 13.5 to 17 million cap hit on average, 7.8 million. Now, immediately people will say, well, what's the backside look like? It doesn't matter what the backside looks like. By the time we get there, you can restructure, re-sign, or cut them loose by the fourth year and get, you know, with a minimum. I want to say his cap penalty, if we cut him in his fourth year of his contract, we're only going to be on the hook for like $4 or $5 million in cap penalties off. So, and again, I don't think they're going to do that. I think we've got a stud player that's going to be here for the long haul. He may even get a contract after this, to be honest with you, when he's 29 or whatever it is. I think right now he's technically 24 years old. But again, the cap hit is $7.8 million. And the way that's structured this year, base salary, $1.4 million, signing bonus of $5.7 million. If I remember correctly, the signing bonus was spread out evenly over the four-year contract. So you've got $5.7 million, $5.7 million, $5.7 million, $5.7 million. So when you go to move on from him, that penalty will accelerate to the current year. But again, it's pennies on the dollars when you get to that fourth year. So I love how Goody kind of set this up. You see Josh Jacobs as well, base salary, $1.2 million, $3.1 signing bonus. And obviously his cap hit's only $5.3 million this year. So if you were to have kept Aaron Jones on his current contract, which I've got to be honest, I was okay with them doing. We got to the point where I'm like, I'm okay if they keep Aaron Jones at $17 million cap hit for what he's meant to the organization. They were obviously cut that in half. Right. So the Packers greatly disagreed. We went from a $17 million cap hit of Aaron Jones down to a $5.3 million cap hit. Now, we did absorb a cap penalty of roughly, I think it was 10 or 11 million for Aaron Jones. So it comes out pretty much comes out in the wash as if we had Aaron Jones on the roster at $17 million cap hit. Now, with that being said, I think this is why I said right off the bat, as I was trying to kind of go through this in real time when they did sign Jacobs and we cut Aaron Jones loose, you know, roughly 45 minutes after we said we get the best running back tandem in the league, right here live on the air. I looked up and said, this says one thing. Goody thinks Josh Jacobs is a better running back than Aaron Jones right now. That's what it says. Oh, by the way, he's much younger, right? And, oh, by the way, you can get the guaranteed money out and you can still get out of the contract after next year if you need to. I don't think they're going to want to, but it's definitely a possibility. So, that being said, go ahead, Buck.
Do you want some breaking news?
We got some breaking news.
Yeah,
we gotta have a sound bite. Hold on, if we're gonna do breaking news, we gotta have some kind of sound bite here. Let me see. Okay. Is it good news or is it bad news?
It's just news. Tom Pelissero. There's a draft trade. The Vikings have acquired the Texans' first round pick, number 23 overall, for a package that includes second rounders for this year and next. Sources tell me. This year, Minnesota gets number 23 and number 232. Houston's going to get number 42, number 188, and then second rounder in 25.
Got it. So the Vikings traded up, right?
Yep.
So the Vikings traded up and gave up, sound like a bunch of picks there for the first round pick, right? And again, what pick was that in the first round, Jacob?
23.
And what, they've got the 11th pick too, right?
Correct.
That so. Kind of feels like you're building a little bit of current collateral or capital to maybe trade up and get a quarterback.
So Andy Herman just reposted, says Vikings acquiring assets to move up to draft a quarterback? Question.
Oh, yeah. You guys are wondering if I'm actually Andy Herman's burner account, aren't you? That's funny that it's the first thing that came to mind for him too. So that's interesting. Man, this draft is going to be so much fun, guys. It's going to be an absolute blast. So that's going to shuffle some things around. 23 and 11. I'm trying to think. If you gave up the 11th pick and the 23rd pick, we could go to the draft chart, the draft value chart, but it changes on the fly so often, man. You know, they got Jimmy Johnson's and now they got a new one, and it's like every year it doesn't match up perfectly. I think it's a good gauge, but yeah, that's interesting. Paul Robertson in the chat says Vikings positioning themselves to trade for a bus. Yes, sir. That's what they do. So, yeah, it kind of feels like they're freaking out a bit after Kirk Cousins ends up in Atlanta down there, right? With his chain hanging low. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I called it. Did you see that? I told you.
Yep, you did. Everybody's talking about it.
Bust out the chains.
Yep. Everybody's like, man, he's going to fit in with, you know, how Southern rap has really taken off. Obviously, it took off in the early 2000s. That was when I was in my heavy music stage. Everybody's just going, I cannot wait to see Kirk Cousins link up with some of these Atlanta rappers and wear the chains and everything. It's already happening. And you're not going to find a more Caucasian. He looked like he was born on the mountain of Caucasus, right?
You sure about that?
You can go back home to Harlan County, Kentucky, where I'm from, and you won't find whiter people than Kirk Cousins. I think he's a good dude. I do. It sucks I haven't got the pull for him because he's played for that ugly purple team. Now I'll probably find myself pulling for him a little bit, because if you guys go watch the quarterback series, I think it was on Netflix, he earned a lot of my respect. People didn't realize how many injuries that dude was battling through, and you never heard him talk about it. He just kept it quiet, and it was cool to see behind the scenes there. I'm wondering, is this – you know, we were talking about Justin Jefferson too, right? Justin Jefferson, will he get mad and want out of Minnesota because they don't have a quarterback and they're kind of rebuilding the quarterback room? This might be a nice little if they do trade up and get what they think is their quarterback of the future. I don't think they're going to be able to get up in the top three, guys. You know, M. Smitty says, based on the trade value chart, looks like if they gave up the 11th and the 23rd, they could move up the fourth. They're right on cue. I don't think they'll be able to get up the three. If they get up the four, the Bears are probably going to take a quarterback, whether it's Caleb Williams or whoever. Let's say they take Caleb Williams, right? Then you got Washington, right, who's going to take either Drake May or Jaden Daniels most likely. And then, or one of these teams could trade out. And then you got the Patriots, who I think there's a decent chance will take the third quarterback, whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whichever.
So Minnesota takes Marvin Harrison Jr. Just
my God.
Justin Jefferson really starts scratching his head.
And their backup punter can throw him the ball, right? you know, the thing that kind of sticks out is, do they, when you, if you've got enough value to trade up to number four, right? And again, this isn't set in stone, and I know the listener isn't saying that. If you were to get up to four, that means you think really highly of J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, or Bo Nix, right? Ain't that how we're seeing that, Jacob?
I don't know. To me, it would make more sense to just sit and pick. Maybe that's what they're going to do, and they have somebody that they want later in the first round, and they just – I don't know.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't make sense because, like we said, if you're going to get – what are you moving up for? Yeah, Marvin Harrison. Like, I don't
– Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird to me.
I'm going to go to the consensus big board and share it on screen here. And
so far, this crazy guy, the analytics guy, he's made some moves that made my head scratch, and I'm like, analytically, does that sound good?
in his mind it did, right? Maybe he's on the devil's lettuce too. You know what I'm saying? He's out there hitting that bowl a little bit before making these moves. It always comes into play. Stay off
the damn weed.
Exactly. You guys can see the screen, right?
Sure can.
Right. Yes.
I found myself in the past just talking for 15 minutes. You guys going, Clayton, we can't see what you're talking about. So that's why I always ask. So here's how the quarterback room sits right now. Caleb Williams, number one. Drake May, number two. He peaked at one. Jaden Daniels, number three, peaked at three. And then J.J. McCarthy sitting at 10th. This is the highest he's been so far. They got Bo Nix at 34. Obviously, he peaked at 13. Michael Penix Jr. from Washington peaked at 4, but he's currently sitting 38th. So kind of feels like if the consensus mock draft or consensus big board is accurate, they may be trying to target J.J. McCarthy. If he's sitting in the 10 spot, you got enough capital to trade up and potentially land him in that fourth spot. Emilio going to get on here now and try to convince us that he's actually working.
Emilio!
Emilio, what do you think about this trade, man? The Vikings getting an extra first-round pick, dude. Did you hear about it?
Yeah, just you guys broke the news. Appreciate that. I was ran a couple mocks last night, and every time I looked at them, Vikings jumped up to like number three or four. So, but I don't like you guys were saying. I'm not sure why they would do it. You know, there's the top three going to go, and then I don't know. It's a questionable move, right? But whatever, man. They're wasting their picks and they're doing all that. So let's just keep letting it ride.
Yeah, Chris in the chat said, "Look, Emilio's working." Whatever, dude. Listen, you lie to your friends, I lie to mine, but let's don't lie to each other, all right?
I'm drenched. It is pouring here.
Is it?
Yeah,
yeah. We got some rain up here too, man. That's why I'm sitting in the house drinking a cup of coffee. You know what I mean? Talking football. So right. It is what it is. There you go. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the bell. So, all right. With that being said, you got anything you want to add to this, Emilio? Since you jumped in here real quick, you always come in at the end, man.
Yeah. No. Nothing, man. Nothing.
Don't do it, Tim. Don't do it, Tim. Don't do it. Do it.
No, I'll leave it. I'll leave it alone. It's too early in the morning.
I appreciate that, Tim. No, I don't have anything to add. I'm excited about the additions and excited that the Vikings keep doing questionable decisions. So,
yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun draft, and there's going to be a lot more shuffling take place before we even get to the draft, which obviously it's March 15th, free agency. I think the Packers will make a couple more signings, whether it's some of their own guys or maybe a couple of these cheap free agents on the backside. But on top of that, you're going to have the draft talks really going to heat up because we're just a little over a month away, right? We get a lot to cover between now and then. I need to do this too real quick. Let me see about the offseason dates. All right, that doesn't carry over far enough. I've got another one here somewhere, unless I deleted it. I may have deleted it. I think I did. I was trying to see when the Packers' first little mini camp starts because I want to say they've got one in April. Do they not? No. Clubs with returning head coaches may begin off-season workout programs. There you go. Yeah. So April 1st, clubs that hired a new head coach, a.k.a. they sucked last year, they can go ahead and get in the building, right? And start their off-season workout programs. April 15th is when the Packers will be able to return. Clubs with returning head coaches may begin off-season workout programs. So even, you know, we're pretty much 1 month away from the Packers getting back in the building and doing a little bit of something, right? It's cool that Jacobs is in-house right now. McKinney's in-house. You've seen him sign the contract. So going to be neat to see all that stuff start to come to fruition too. So. Let's go around the horn one last time. Jacob, you got anything else you want to hit on, bub?
No, not really. Do you know what we want to cover tonight, or are we just going to let it play? Is it
We talked about something. I've already forgot. There was something we were going to hit on later tonight. We'll come up with something. Yeah. Is there anything specific you'd like to hit on? I can write it down right now and we can prep.
Emilio, are you going to be with us tonight, or what's your deal?
Yeah, I should be on. Why?
Just making sure.
Are you going to the gym or something? Am I going to miss
probably
up?
Probably will. Just want to make sure you're not working still.
Dude, look at it. It's pouring outside.
Excuses. Sure. Excuses are like rear ends, Emilio. Everybody's got one and they all stink.
I know it. I know it.
He looks so disappointed in himself. Here's what
can we go over any of the combines like that the schools held? Have any of them happened?
There has been some. Yeah, we were trying to get the updated RAS data earlier, but everyone we looked at, Jacob, it was still not in the website, right? So, well, maybe that stuff will get updated by tonight too. What I think we should do, last night we did Jacob's mock draft. We put him on the spot. I think we should put either Tim or Emilio on the spot. Ooh. And you guys do your mock draft, and we'll sit here and make fun of y'all like y'all make fun of us, right?
Who do you think you are? I am.
I can get behind that.
All right, cool. So we'll do that. We'll do one of your all's mock draft tonight. We'll go mock draft either Emilio or Tim and get that in. And, yeah, we'll hit on anything else y'all want to hit on. We may have some news break too, man. I still haven't heard anything other than the one gentleman that tweeted that out about Micah Hyde. Yeah, pro days are definitely going on. It's just weird because the RASs are not getting updated, you know, at least – the way I expected them to. So right. Maybe it's a little bit of time. But yeah,
we're a couple minutes away from the pressers too, with our newest
right.
Packers.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Was it.
That sure, we'll, thank you, Tim. That's we'll break that down tonight. Xavier yes. McKinney, Josh Jacobs. So that'll give us something to chat about.
Yeah, that was the plan. I knew there was something. So what I'll do is I'll go through and watch it live.
Everybody has to remind us what we were
like. We're all.
What you were going to show tonight on the stream. There it is.
Right? Things could be a lot worse. I could be a Bears fan.
So, yeah, we'll get you some highlights from those pressers and kind of get a little bit of a glimpse. Listen, we know there's going to be a lot of coach and player speak, but at the same time, I feel like you do. Like Halfley was awesome because you really got to see that personality shine through. I'm excited about hearing Xavier McKinney. I've heard more Josh Jacobs than I have Xavier McKinney, so I'm really excited to see Xavier McKinney. He seems like he's got an extremely high football IQ, so I'm excited about hearing from him. But with that being said, get out of here. Tim, you got anything else, buddy?
Nope. Just that's about it.
That's it.
Fired up, man. New Packers. We get to hear from our guys. A lot to be excited about. Like Jim was saying in the chat, Wisconsin's pro day today. Be a lot of stuff to cover tonight. So join us and click the like while you're still here. Got a lot of people between Twitter and YouTube, over 500 in the room. So click that like button for us, guys. Appreciate it.
Definitely. And like I said, you can click on my profile and go straight to our YouTube page and subscribe there. It's a little bit easier interface to communicate with us in the chat and all that good stuff. We got just a couple tips, life advice here as we get ready to wrap up.
Wash your hands, wash your butt, man. That's it. That's all.
Yeah, Emilio's over there like,
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Exactly. Tim, let me get a yeehaw and I'm good.
You got to finish it up with it.
John Deere Green.
Boys back, I love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys tonight. And by the way, Jacob, you'll know if Emilio is on the stream tonight or not. As soon as you log in, you'll hear Big Green Tractor blasting in the background. And he's usually talking to himself, too, which cracks me up.
Himself. Yeah.
I'm the same way. I'm going to go, okay, we need to do this. I need to hit that. And I come in and, yeah, Emilio's acting like he's balancing his checkbook or something. Really, he's just listening to Big Green Tractor. So.
Wait, and put me on a big screen real quick, will you?
Oh, for real? Let's see here. All right. Solo. The narcissist cam. There it is. Look at that PTA cup right there.
Yeah, PTA cup. That's Zazzle. Merch. Come on, Zazzle.
Too bad there's nothing in the cup. It's like one of those fake things.
There's black coffee in there. Sorry, coffee.
You're so racist. You're so coffee. Racist. Sorry. Yeah. What's up with that, man?
All right, take me off the screen.
All right, guys. We'll see y'all tonight. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. Quick shout out. Thank you to Joyce for the super chat. You're awesome, Joyce. Always supporting the stream. We appreciate you. See you guys tonight. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go Pack, go.